really enjoyed the chat with David Chilton, the author of The Wealthy Barber. What a great guest and what a great book. So many people sharing on the text line their stories of how that book, The Wealthy Barber, maybe impacted their lives, was a great way to open a good discussion about money management with their kids, people giving this as a gift. And this newest edition, as you just heard David say, really takes into consideration lots of the newer tax tools, savings tools that we have, tax-free savings accounts, those types of things. Great updated edition of the book. By the way, 350 now texts is where we're at. We do have our three winners. Frank is working at connecting with them to let them know that they have won. I will announce the three winners of the complimentary copies of The Wealthy Barber updated edition a little bit later on this half hour. So a little bit closer to the bottom of the hour, I will give you an update on that. Well, in the conversation we had with Tom Korski of BlackRock's reporter right off the start of the show this morning, we talked about this growing debt that we see, the spending that goes on by the federal government, and the fact that they are now asking for an increase in the actual national debt ceiling. So they want more room. It's like having a maxed out credit card and saying, okay, but could I get a little bit higher credit limit because I have some more spending to do? Lots of people are concerned about that. And you look at what the money is spent on. Healthcare, of course, is a big one. Federally, it's a big one. Provincially as well. Today, we are taking a bit of a closer look at some of the data that sheds on how much we are spending on healthcare. How does Saskatchewan compare to other provinces when it comes to healthcare spending? There's a new analysis that's out from the Canadian Institute for Health Information that shows national health spending is expected to climb to just under $400 billion. It's growing 2 percentage points faster than the overall economy. Inflation, population growth, system pressures, driving costs. But here to break down the numbers and what they mean for the future of healthcare is Chris Kuchak. Chris is the manager of health expenditures with the Canadian Institute for Health Information. And Chris joins us from his office by phone. Chris, thank you for taking our call today.
Well, great to be with you, Evan.
So let's talk about your report. Let's start with the big national takeaways from this year's health spending report. What would you say they are?
Well, yes, the Canadian Institute for Health Information released its 29th annual report on health spending. Overall, we see in Canada total health spending reaching $399 billion, or just about. That amounts to over $9,600 per Canadian. When we look at projected growth in 2025, we're seeing roughly a 4% increase in health spending. And what we're seeing is, in a post-pandemic world, external factors such as inflation and population growth are really playing a bigger part of the growth story.
Would you say that's what's driving this increase is population growth?
Well, there's a number of external factors. I mean, think about it. In the post-pandemic world, we saw general inflation go up to its highest levels since the 1970s. The cost of everything has gone up, including the cost to deliver healthcare. We saw a surge in population growth, the highest level since we've seen since the 1960s. Much like the housing sector, when you have an increase in population with a fixed infrastructure, fixed capacity, that's going to put upward pressure on the system and upward pressure on costs. And let's not forget, I mean, we're all getting older every year. So population aging, while it's not a major driver on an annual basis, it's still there year after year. So what's the bottom line? We are seeing health expenditures grow in 2025. But after you can take into consideration the increase in costs to deliver care and the shifting demographics, in fact, we're actually barely keeping pace with existing care.
Well, you know, one of the things I was curious about, Chris, is the report said that health spending is growing by almost 2% faster than the economy. Is that a worry?
So we're in a period now that we're seeing slower economic growth. That's not unique to Canada. We can see across other countries and industrialized countries in the OECD similar experiences. We're seeing increasing financial pressure. We're seeing governments that have tighter fiscal space and competing priorities. But what we're seeing, not only across countries, but even within Canada, across other jurisdictions, still an increase in health spending overall, just continuing to invest in healthcare. But what we're seeing is more of a focus on trying to maximize return on investments and squeeze more value out of those healthcare dollars.
And are we doing that? Is there a way we can measure that?
Well, when you think about where the dollars are going right now, I mean, the big ticket items are your hospital services, your physician services, and your drugs. So that's your prescribed drugs. These three categories alone combined account for over half of the total health spending pie. What we're seeing is upward spending trends in all these categories. Part of it is driven by increase in demand and need for those services, but part of it also is an increase in the cost to supply these services. Take, for example, hospitals. What we're seeing is increased upward pressure on compensation due to workforce shortages. So we're seeing more overtime pay, sick leave, use of temporary agency workers. And really looking ahead, the conditions are such that we do see, you know, the arrow pointing up in terms of upward spending trends in these areas going forward.
Chris Kuchek is my guest, manager of health expenditures with the Canadian Institute for Health Information. Maybe a tough question for me to ask you. There's lots of others who might be better poised to answer it, but I'll ask it nonetheless. Can we keep up with this type of spending? Is there any discussions that you hear from the tables that you sit at, Chris, about a need to look at healthcare from a reform standpoint? Is this sustainable?
Well, what we're seeing is a focus on trying to get more value out of those healthcare dollars. So investing in primary healthcare, for example, care in the community, trying to treat people rather than waiting until they're going to the hospital where they're, the highest costs will be the acute care in hospitals. So going from treatment to more of preventative. So the primary healthcare is an area. Another area, much like the general economy, technology, data, and trying to use technology to improve efficiencies and processes. So we're seeing that across the country, and using technology as well to potentially mitigate some of the health workforce shortages. So we hear about how the potential for AI to be used for some of that. So those are the three main areas that we see across the country that are priorities to invest in.
Chris Kuchek is my guest. Let's talk Saskatchewan in the last little bit that we've got together here. Anything major for our province in the health spending report?
Well, when we look at total health spending in Saskatchewan, we're talking $12.7 billion or just over $10,100 per person in Saskatchewan. I mean, in terms of growth trends, we do see Saskatchewan following, tracking along much like the national average at about 4%. And what we're seeing is that when we look at the total health spending pie, 73% of that comes from public sector government funds. So the majority of the dollars are being funded through government sources, and we do see going forward, that'll be tighter fiscal positions for governments will be an area to focus for getting more value out of those healthcare dollars.
I noticed your per person funding dollar that you had for the national average was 9,000 and change, for Saskatchewan 10,000 and change. That extra expenditure in Saskatchewan, a good thing, a bad thing? How do you view that?
Well, actually, when we see spending across provinces, we do see quite a bit of variation. We have to remember, healthcare is a provincial jurisdiction. Each province delivers care according to the needs of its own population. For example, when we see, differences in geography, so delivering care in an urban versus rural setting. Demographics play a role. You know, if you have an aging or an older than average population, that'll have an impact on costs, as well as labor markets, right? We have to remember health workforce and compensation, part of that is a competitive market where you have people moving across the country, and part of those physician costs are for recruitment and retention. So yeah, these are some of the factors, and we do see that drive variations across
right.
provinces.
I think I saw somewhere in the report health spending makes up about 10.2% of Saskatchewan's GDP. Can you give us a sense how that compares with the rest of Canada on that measure?
Well, actually, so in again, that's another variation in terms of how much income or capacity your economy has to invest in healthcare. When we look at the national average, we're talking about over 12%. So, in Saskatchewan, it's a little bit lower than the national average. And a large part of that has to do with, again, how care is delivered and what are the choices and policy decisions that are being made to meet the needs of the local population, as there are competing priorities for those government funds.
We're talking about the new analysis out from the Canadian Institute for Health Information. I've got the manager of health expenditures, Chris Kuchak, is joining me now. Just about a minute or so left in our chat. Are there any categories, and I'm looking at it again through the lens of our province, any categories of spending that are rising faster in the province? Anything catch your eye?
Well, I think Saskatchewan, much like other other provinces, workforce shortages. So again, compensation of the workforce, whether it be physician services or whether it be for even allied health professionals, a lot of that, think about dental care, vision care, while a lot of these are paid for through private sector funds, whether it be out of pocket or private insurance. But these are areas, again, where we see faster growth, and the underlying conditions are there where we'll see continued momentum going forward just because the demand and the needs are there.
Mm-hmm. What's the takeaway for everyday Canadians? Why does this report that your team has produced, why does it matter for us? What does it inform?
So we're all patients in the system one way or another, and we're all taxpayers. So the money side of healthcare is an important thing to consider. We are seeing growth in health spending, but a lot of people, a lot of Canadians out there are saying, well, how come, we're not seeing a lot of change? We're still seeing wait times. I'm still having a hard time getting into the emergency room or seeing my doctor. And I think, part of that is, increases in spending, but also the increase in costs to deliver existing care. And so that's the challenge of the system today, is to try and derive more value out of its existing dollars.
Chris, I've appreciated our chat today. Thanks so much for giving us the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Chris Kuchak, manager of health expenditures with the Canadian Institute for Health Information. Their new report is available online if you're interested in reading a little bit more. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
From misery to happiness to be. Uh-huh, 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 uh-huh. I'm on my way from misery to happiness to be. Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was that people just love the book, The Wealthy Barber, or people are cramming to get their last minute Christmas shopping done, and they thought, hey, this would be a good way to get a gift taken off of my list for someone. Nonetheless, we had hundreds, measured in hundreds of texts for the free book of the updated version of The Wealthy Barber. David Chilton was my guest at 10:30 today. Congratulations. Here's your winners. We had said 9, 12, and 14. So Austin Palabrota from Saskatoon, Scott Senek from Dundurn, and Jesse Weens from Saskatoon. Congratulations, Austin, Scott, and Jesse. You are all winners of the new updated version of The Wealthy Barber by David Chilton. If you missed the chat with Dave Chilton, what a great guest. You can always go back and listen through the website or wherever you get your podcasts. Congrats again to Austin, Scott, and Jesse for getting through in time on the mark to win the free books. Boy, thoughts and prayers with the community of Esterhazy and, of course, everyone that works at the K3 Potash facility near Esterhazy. An employee, it was announced yesterday, an employee died at that mine site. They had what they call a fall of ground incident. So that's typically with a, it's like a collapse, basically, of rock or earth or other material in an underground mine. They had to activate their emergency response team as soon as that happened. And of course, they're still now investigating. Mining activity's been temporarily halted there. They've got regulatory authorities coming in, and the company has provided support services for through the employee and family assistance program for all the employees there. It's I've got friends that work at that mine. I know how devastating something like this can be, and rare. I mean, we have such a strong mining industry here. We have the Saskatchewan Mining Association on our program often, and they will talk about, built right into their annual general meeting and their conferences, is mine safety. They put a heavy emphasis on safety. Sadly, accidents happen, and so our thoughts go out to the family, obviously, the community members, the employees that were affected by that mine incident near Esterhazy that was just announced just the other day. Well, we've got still lots to come on the program. In fact, I've got an interesting topic I'm going to be checking into here coming up after 11:30. I'm not a hunter, but I enjoy wild game meat. In fact, a buddy of mine, Brandon, gave me some elk meat. He likes to go out and hunt. This is from an elk he had shot earlier in the year. He gave me a little bit of elk meat. Man, really, really good meat. This is the conversation, though, that we're having just after 11:30 with Adam Leontowicz, who, if you recognize that name, you think, gosh, I know this name. Where's it from? Well, he is one of the researchers that works directly at the Canadian Light Source. Interesting to note, Adam is also a big hunter. He likes to go out hunting. He did a study on the microscopic particles of lead that can be left in hunted meat. So this is not a session on we have to start hunting. This is a session on, I think we should change the type of bullets we use for hunting, especially if it's game that you're going to be eating. So we will have a check-in with Adam Leontowicz coming up just after 11:30. And just after 12 o'clock, I wanted to revisit the conversation. This will be the last of the year that we had with the great Tom Korski. Tom, of course, the managing editor for Blacklock's Reporter. We checked in with him off the start of the show, and it stimulated and sparked a lot of great conversations, like, should we have rules against crossing the floor? Not waiting for the next election, but saying, no, I'm going to abandon one party for the other. Tom even has a real thought that we might see an election announcement in 2026 from a federal government standpoint. All that and more coming up in that conversation with Tom, which will be just after 12 noon.